My name is Valerie Payne, and this is the podcast Binding Unity. I started this podcast because of a personal experience that helped me to see the need for unity in our society right now. I hope that you will come along with me on my quest to find unity as we seek understanding, connection, healing, and love. Hi, this is Valerie Payne, and you're listening to another episode of Finding Unity, and I have a good friend of mine on today, Bridget Canningdead. Bridget, do you want to say hi to everybody?
Hi, everyone.
I'm super excited to have you on. Thank you for being willing to be on. Bridget and I became friends, and really, we've had a lot of faith conversations, I feel, and we are of different faiths. But I feel like we've learned a lot from each other and been a good support to one another. I feel that way anyway.
Yes.
And so, yeah, we're just going to be talking a little bit about our faith differences and finding unity despite those differences. So first, Bridget, do you want to just kind of give people a little bit of information about yourself, where you're from, how many were in your family, just any information you feel like might be helpful for them?
Yeah. Once again, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited, a little bit nervous, but I'm excited. Yes, I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California, South Central, actually. I have a pretty large family. I have six sisters and a brother. Was raised by my parents in a Christian home. My father was a minister and my mom was a choir director. So we grew up singing a lot in church.
I don't think I've ever heard you sing, now that I'm thinking about
it. Probably won't.
Why not?
You know, I think it's because, like, if you're in the car with me and I'm singing, that's one thing. But when people tell me to sing on the spot, I get nervous because it takes me back to where we had to sing on stage for the churches. So I feel like I'm performing and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, no.
That's so funny. Okay. Well, first of all, do you want to just talk a little bit about your individual faith journey? I mean, you mentioned that you had a Christian upbringing. But yeah, if you don't mind talking a little bit about your individual faith journey and your individual conversion.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm born and raised in a Christian home, and I know that doesn't make me a Christian, but just so you guys have see where my foundation was. I remember being, I think I was like 6 years old, and my mom and I were going to the mall, and I can't remember what we were talking about on the way to the mall, but we're talking about God and we're talking about heaven. And I remember when we parked, right before we got out, I just remember saying to my mom, I said, Mom, I want to go to heaven one day. And I said, I want to meet Jesus. And she said, okay. And she said, so we talked about me acknowledging, knowing, seeing if I knew what a sin was, acknowledging that I was a sinner. We prayed. And so I know that was the day that I got saved. But as I realized, as I've grown, and obviously it's been so many years, not going to age myself, but it's been so many years since then. But where I was at that time, I've seen God strengthen me, and I've grown a lot more in my Christian, my walk with God. And I can say it was around, maybe 10 years ago. Because I grew up in the church with my parents, going to church with them all the time. And one day I just was thinking, I said, you know, if I was not raised in this household, would I still believe what I believe? And that kind of took me on a deeper journey with God. And I really started to know Christ for myself and seeing the things that he has done in my life and asking him for direction, where he wanted me to go. And I started going to church. Stopped going to church with my parents because I said, you know what, if I'm going to deepen my relationship with God, I felt that I needed to kind of to cut that tie because I knew my Christianity was not being dependent on my parents, but I wanted to make sure my church attendance, my Bible reading, and all those other things were not being dependent on my parents. So I stopped going to church with them, found another church, and that's where I saw really I really knew what it meant to walk with God at that time.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned a lot of different things there, and I was wondering if you don't mind just kind of unpacking what it means to be saved mm-hmm. to you and how that may, I guess, shift the path of your life mm-hmm. by being saved, because that's not a term every religion uses. And okay. so, yeah, if you don't mind just explaining
that a little bit. Yeah, so what I believe it means to be a Christian is, for one, acknowledging that you're a sinner. A sin is something that is against God and things that he does not want us to do. And which is why Jesus died on the cross, for why he came to die for us, was for our sins. And so acknowledging that you're a sinner and realizing that your life is, you're not living for yourself anymore. You're living for God. You are living to glorify him, and you are walking away from everything that you, let me see, how can I put this? I know for me, there are goals and ideas that I wanted and things that I believe that I wanted to do with my life. But I had to ask myself, is this something that God really wants me to do? And if I was going to give my life over to Christ, then I needed to be willing to allow him to guide me into wherever he wanted me to go. So being saved to me is acknowledging that you're a sinner and knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and he loved you so much and he resurrected on the third day, and deciding to live your life for him and glorify him so that way we can go to heaven one day and rejoice with him.
Yeah. So one other follow-up question about that. So if there was someone who was to say that they were saved, you know, similarly, let's say, because you said this was 6 years old when it happened to you, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say they feel like they've had this experience of feeling saved, but then they go off the straight and narrow path, right? And mm-hmm. maybe make some choices that aren't the best.
Yeah.
Would you argue that they weren't really saved? Or that they were, and then they, like, what does that look like? Does that make sense?
And no, I wouldn't say that they weren't saved, because just because you become a Christian, you've recognized that you're a sinner, you ask God to forgive you for your sins, we're still going to sin. Right. We're still going to fall short every day, but we make a conscious decision and we strive for that perfection every day. We strive to be more Christ-like every day, but we are going to go through times where life hits us really hard. I know I went through something recent in the past couple of years, and it was a relationship, and it shook me really hard, and I really had to cling onto my faith, and that's when I realized what it really means to walk in faith, walk with Christ, and letting him lead you. So there are going to be times when we're going to backslide, but I do believe that if you are saved, that there's always going to be a part of you while you're backsliding and you're maybe falling back into lifestyles of sin or whatever it is, or not reading your Bible as much, you walk away from church. There's going to be a part of you that is missing, and you're not going to experience true joy because you know where your true, where your calling is, and you know where your home is, and you know who your father is. And there's going to be a piece of you that is going to, I really feel that's just going to be kind of empty a little bit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That makes sense. And then with being saved, do you have any like rituals like baptism and things like that you believe are part of your?
I do believe in baptism. Jesus he was the first example and he said he wants us to be baptized, and John the Baptist baptized him. And so it was because we're showing the world that we have made a change. We have acknowledged that we're a sinner and we're choosing to live for Christ. So I do believe in baptism, but that's not what saves you. It's like an outward showing to the world, this is the decision I've made and I'm choosing to follow Christ.
So you feel like it's an outward expression of an inward commitment.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So thanks for sharing all of that and for clarifying it. I think it's helpful. So the next question is, you know, you're Christian and you've mm-hmm. expressed that there's a lot of different branches of Christianity. Mm-hmm. So I guess, how would you describe your faith and beliefs to someone you've met? But also, I'm curious how you navigate, since there are so many different branches mm-hmm. of Christianity, what church you're going to attend.
Mm-hmm. I was raised Baptist, for one. The church that I started going off with, I was very young, was Baptist. And I always just kind of was like, okay, I'm a Baptist. And then I started hearing about people that were Lutheran, and other different branches of Christianity. But now I kind of, I don't like to be a part of any denomination because I feel like a lot of times when I've looked into those denominations, a lot of things were more religious. So I know with us, like it was how you might do your tithing or how you do your communion or certain clothes that you have to wear. I know there's certain branches where you have, the women have to wear skirts with stockings and they have to go to a certain point of your knee or, but my thing is I'm focused on what God's word says and what the Bible says. And I feel like sometimes with a lot of denominations, we get so caught up in man-made traditions and that makes us become religious and it's getting away from what Christ actually says, the true relationship with Christ. So I don't associate with any denomination. I'm like, you're preaching the Bible? Okay, let's do this.
So what I'm hearing you say, because I know even though you feel like you don't maybe associate or identify as a certain denomination, mm-hmm. Unless things have changed, going to church is mm-hmm. very important to you. So yeah. How do you navigate what church you're going to go to? Is it what you
said? I look for non-denominational churches now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I've been going for the past 10 years, I believe. Yeah. To a non-denominational church.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Thanks for sharing. If you were to meet someone and describe your faith and beliefs to someone you've never met or maybe who doesn't know about your beliefs, how would you describe them?
It's a relationship. Christianity is a relationship with God. It's not about rules or traditions. It's really developing, knowing who Christ is, knowing your identity is in Christ and what he has called you to be. And it's about an everyday conscious decision to deepen that relationship. And I can say it's something I don't regret. It's one of the most amazing, sometimes frightening things I've ever done. Putting your complete trust when you don't know the outcome and you don't know where you're going, but knowing that your life is in the hands of someone that loves you more than you can ever comprehend is one of the most moving and the most amazing things I've ever done.
Awesome. You mentioned it's not about rules. It's more about a relationship. And I think sometimes, because I just want to clarify, because I know you and I know your beliefs. So I just want to make sure people understand what you're expressing, because you do believe in following the rules that Christ has mm-hmm. spoken. And yeah. So I think what I'm hearing you say is it's not about being rigid and doing things for the wrong reason, but doing them because Christ, having that relationship with Christ and knowing what he wants you to do based on his words. Is that fair?
Yes. And it's not like, so the rules part, sorry, kind of was tying into like falling apart with denominations, saying there are things that they might not do. But when you say, well, why is that? Is it biblical? They're like, well, we just don't do this because, but if it's not based off the Bible, then why are you doing it? Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm saying it's about having a relationship with Christ and understand who he is and his desires for you and how to live your life.
Great. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you. How would you say your faith has helped you in your life?
For one, it's definitely been a beacon of light and hope for me when I didn't know what to do. I had gone through some challenging things when I was younger, and I thought I had overcome it when I was younger, but as I went into adulthood, I realized that there were a lot of things that there were still unpacked, I guess you can say, in me, that where I struggled with my self-esteem, with anxiety, relationships, and a lot of it was stemming from things that happened to me when I was younger, and I kept trying to fix it, and I kept saying, well, I need to do this, and I need to work on this, and I had a really deep conversation with a friend one day, and he just kind of pointed out to me, and he said, why are you trying to fix everything? And he said, when there is a God who loves you so much and he needs to fix you. Every time we try to fix something, it never works out right. We always fail. Sometimes we get discouraged, we get let down, and we get disappointed. And I realized that I was not allowing God to just kind of heal me. And in the past couple years, he's put me on the journey, this journey where it's been about healing and allowing him to work on my flaws and for him to sharpen things that needed to be sharpened. And it's really opened my eyes. It's made my walk in faith a lot stronger with him. It's made me closer to him. I've been able to lean on him. And he's also brought me to a point where I'm relying solely on him, not on friends, not relationships, not family. There are times I believe God will take you through a wilderness where you can only rely on him. And it's for you to, for him to get that intimate relationship with you.
I love that. And I agree with that. So that's awesome. So have you ever had a time or an experience where maybe you felt disunity like maybe people couldn't unify you or treated you in a way that was maybe in a persecuting manner due to your faiths or your beliefs?
Oh, that's a good question. There have been some challenges where I faced where I've had to speak up for my beliefs, where there are situations where I don't want to get too deep, I guess, with certain things, get myself in trouble. But there were times where there were things that were required of me that were, in a contract sense, that I was there were some obligations that I was supposed to do. But it went against my beliefs. And I remember thinking one day, okay, Lord, all right, I'm going to share it. I'm not going to shy. I'm not going to back down, because I know we need to, as Christians, we need to be more bold. We need to stand up. We need to be loving, but we still need to be kind. And being kind is being honest and speaking the truth. And so I've been faced with that a couple of times in my life. And I'm blessed that God found me favor, and so I did not have to follow through with some of those obligations. I was given grace, because they heard my beliefs and they heard my values, and they said, okay, we're not going to force you to do this. But yeah, there are times that I'm seeing where in the world the world is slowly pushing out Christians, their beliefs and their values. And but if that's where, if God is putting you in a situation and he wants you to be somewhere, whether it's a job, a friendship, a church, relationship, getting a new apartment, whatever it is, if that is what God wants you to do, you might not see it, how it's going to work out, but if that's where God wants you to do, he will put that faith in you to say, trust me. And you have to ask yourself, do you trust him or not? And it might mean walking away from a job. It might be walking away from a friendship or a relationship. But there are times where we are going to have to stand, and we need to be okay with that.
And how would you say, you mentioned doing it, you know, in a loving way. Mm-hmm. I guess, what advice would you have for people listening who, because there is so much contention right now and divisiveness. So what advice would you give to people as far as how to do that in a loving way, just in a general sense?
Mm-hmm. First, understand where the person's coming from, hearing them out. I think, as I know for me, there are times where someone's talking and I don't necessarily agree with them. So before they're even finishing the conversation, I'm like, yeah, I've already written this off because I don't agree with them. But it's not healthy and it's not really fair. I need to really understand where this person is coming from, what their background is, what was their pain? Were they hurt by someone that was a person of faith? Did they get shunned by their church? Was there abuse in their life and they're having questions and they're lost? We need to pause and actually hear what they're having, what they have to say. I think that's the first step. And then share why you disagree and why you are not going to do that thing they're asking you to do. But come from a loving approach, because our goal should not be to want to just beat someone over the head. Our goal should be to, I have a solution to all of your pain, your hurt, and it's Jesus. And that's what we need to share. And being kind, where there's this weird misconception right now that I've noticed, that if you do not agree with someone, that means you hate them or you don't love them or you're a horrible person. No, you can disagree with someone but still love them, but not like the things that they're doing. And so we need to be kind. Nice is withholding truth because you don't want to hurt their feelings. Christ was kind. He wasn't nice. He called people snakes. He flipped over tables. But he was kind because he was like, look, I love you. I have a solution for your hurt and for your pain. But this is not right. So yeah. We need to be more kind and be bold.
Thanks for sharing that. And this kind of goes along with it. But you and I, we have a lot of similar beliefs, I think, which has helped us to find unity, just finding our similarities. But we also have a lot of differences and a lot of things that we have differing beliefs on, or even just and that's even within faith, but outside of faith, too. Mm-hmm. So how would you say that we've been able to find unity in our friendship?
I think for one, we have a level of respect for one another, and we see each other's heart. We know our intentions, the reasons why we feel this way, and we're always asking questions. We don't just go, well, I don't want to hear it. That's too bad. I don't agree with you, and that's it. We really try to hear each other out, and I feel like we've had ongoing conversations. Like there are times we've dropped one time and then a couple months later we go like, hey, remember that time? And we kind of picked back up and we're constantly learning, but we're still respecting each other's boundaries. But neither one of us have shied away from what we believe, and we'll say, well, yeah, I don't agree with you, but I still love you. And I feel like we say that all the time, like we kind of end up with, I still love you.
Yeah.
And so having, really hearing each other, like there are times you're saying, hey, yeah, I've heard about this and I don't really agree, but Bridget, I really want to know what you think about this. And we've done this several times. And so I think that's where it comes from. Hearing each other, having a level of respect and really wanting to know more just about who my friend is. So.
Yeah, thank you. And I would just add, I love how you said how we really, know one another's hearts. Mm-hmm. And that reminds me of the book Crucial Conversations, because one of the first steps in it is to start with heart. And so I think that's an important part to having a conversation. But I also love what you shared about seeking understanding is what I heard you say. And of course, that's one of the mission, that's a part of the mission statement of this podcast. But I really do think that even though you and I may have differing beliefs about things, we really strive to seek understanding as like to understanding the why behind why we believe what we believe. Even if we disagree with the bottom line belief, at least trying to understand the why behind it just helps us to gain and build more unity with each other. Because even though we disagree at times, we're able to be like, I disagree, but I can at least maybe see where Bridget's coming from with this. And then even if we can't see where one another's coming from, we can still end with agreeing to disagree and loving each other still. I do. I feel that way anyway.
Yes,
we've agree. Definitely ended conversations where we're like, okay, we just have to agree to disagree. And that's okay. And I feel like you've answered this already, but I just want to ask it in case you have anything else you want to add. And if not, that's okay. But what advice do you have for people who are seeking unity with those of different faiths?
That's a great question. I would recommend doing research, looking at what that person believes and finding out like what the origin was. And really doing your own research. Because a lot of times we will hear, like a 2-minute video of what someone believes on their religion, or we read this clipping about it, and it's just something really quick, but we don't really spend time to really find out, well, where is this coming from? And it's not for you to say, oh, well, maybe I need to switch over, I need to change my beliefs, but it's going to be very hard for you to combat with that person when you don't even understand where they're coming from. So I know for sure for me, researching other religions and having more conversations, all it's done was just strengthen my beliefs and my values. And I'm like, oh yeah, that really doesn't make sense for me. And this is why Christianity makes sense. And so that's what I think it is, really spending that time to do some research and having conversations with them and not being afraid of it, because we need to get deeper and we have to go in depth with people that are, maybe they're in another religion and they're starting to question what they believe. But if you're not able to actually answer hard questions about your own belief, it's going to be very hard to introduce people to Christ and really sharing them and answering those hard-hitting questions, because life is hard. And I don't have all the answers, but I do when I do get challenged with something, I go back and I'm like, you know what? That's a great question. I'm going to do some research and I'll get back to you with some verses. I'll reach out to someone that might be more knowledgeable than me. But I think that's where it comes from, really doing research and just hearing each other out more.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is really knowing what you believe and studying for yourself, your own beliefs, so that you can kind of navigate and answer questions for yourself, but also maybe questions other people have, and then learning about other religions. And I would just add personally from the source of their religion, because I know at least for my faith, there's so many random sites that talk about my religion that have things that are not true or factual. And so like going to the source of at least, I think would help people understand the why behind why they believe, what they believe better. But then also asking one another, right?
Yeah.
About your beliefs, because I know we've definitely had a lot of scripture conversations about things. And I do believe one way that we do find unity is kind of what you said, where maybe one of us doesn't know how to answer a certain question, but then we pause and we research it more and we're able to solidify both of our faiths more, I think, by finding out what we believe about that question.
Yeah.
So Bridget, thank you so much for being on. I have one final question I like to ask everybody. And on my podcast, I define finding unity as finding unity through seeking understanding, healing, connection, and love. What would you say, how would you define unity? Or maybe what are some extra tips you want to give that you haven't shared about unity?
That's a good question. I feel with unity, I think a lot of people get afraid of it sometimes because they're thinking it means that you have to bend on your beliefs. And there are times when there are some values and beliefs that do not line up with you and you're like, no, this is definitely wrong. I will not be around this, and that's okay. And we need to speak up when those times come. But with unity, I feel like it also means that you can still be bold and vocal about what your belief is, but you can still love that person. That's where I find the unity is still loving someone, because we are all on, I know for myself, like I said, in the past 5, 8, 10 years, God's put me on this really deep path with really getting to a more deeper understanding of who he is and the desires that he has for my life. And someone else might not be on that same path that you are. They might just be at the beginning, or they might be in the contemplation stage. And how are we going to be able to reach them if we're not going to come from a loving and a more understanding approach if we're not able to listen to them? So we need Christ's love, but I think we get caught up with being afraid. So, well, we just love this person, we're going to accept and allow all of these things. That's not what I'm saying. We need to be more loving so that we can have these conversations, and our goal should never to be to beat the person over the head. It's to get them to recognize who Christ is, what he has done for you, and what he has already done for them. And I feel that's the only way to get to that point is by loving and hearing people out.
Thank you so much for sharing. So yeah, I guess what I feel like I'm hearing you say is the bottom line is about love and loving people with Christ-like love. And regardless of wherever they're at in their life.
Yeah.
Not saying you condone everything everyone's doing, but loving them regardless. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again so much for being on, Bridget. You're I appreciate welcome. You.
Thank you for having me. This was great. We've been trying to do this for a while, so I'm excited that we got this done.
Me too. If you enjoyed this episode, please like it on whatever platform you're listening to. Remember that it's okay to disagree. Unity comes when we can agree to disagree while still maintaining a love for one another. For more on unity, follow us on Instagram at finding.unity or on Twitter at finding_unity.